It's a warm summer evening. You're out with friends on a patio having a good time. It's a popular spot, so as the night progresses, a lot more people show up. All of a sudden, everyone's phones start beeping. It's a message. Please keep the noise down. But this isn't a text from an irate neighbor. It was sent by the lamppost just outside the bar. They're being used in Barcelona. Anthony Vives, CEO of the City Transformation Agency of Barcelona, says even the lamps themselves have sensors.
These lampposts are not just posts that support lighting. They have sensors for noise. They have sensors for pollution. They have people counters. They have cameras. They have Wi-Fi.
Welcome to The Future According to Now, a podcast from Fidelity Investments and Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic. Technology holds so much potential. Some of it sounds really far-fetched, but some of it matters right now. This podcast explores groundbreaking innovations that hold real potential to change our lives in the foreseeable future. Today on The Future According to Now, we are visiting connected cities, also known as smart cities, where networks of digital technologies are being used to tackle urban issues like pollution, gridlock, security, and much more. Barcelona, Singapore, London, San Francisco, and Oslo are at the forefront of a growing number of connected cities creating digital infrastructures based on a concept referred to as the Internet of Things. That's physical devices, software, sensors, phones, and the cloud that are wirelessly linked to collect and share data and enable advanced services. The result is a reduction in unnecessary consumption, costs, and danger, and increased efficiency.
The city of Chicago has been collecting data for years. Every pothole and every streetlight that we've fixed has been recorded in a database for well over a dozen years.
Chicago is a city in the process of becoming smart.
My name is Tom Schenk, and I'm the Chief Data Officer for the City of Chicago.
Tom is using the city's wealth of data for something called predictive analytics.
And so we've been able to not just track somebody's work, but actually try to predict when we think that next pothole is going to occur.
Anticipating the next pothole keeps roads safer. It also helps city beautification efforts, because Chicago is a beautiful city, full of iconic architecture. But did you know they also have a rat problem?
A nuisance that not a lot of people like to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So it's a very sensible thing for us to improve the quality of life by being more efficient and responding to areas even before they know they have a problem.
Tom's team created a predictive algorithm based on a wide set of data, including complaints, health violations, and more.
Now is a website to go to where we highlight the hotspot areas where we think those outbreaks are most likely to occur.
And they sent one of their rat catchers to test it, to an area that had not received many complaints.
So there's no real reason for her to have gone out, except our predicted algorithm said to visit a block. And when she called back, she noted that it was actually a rather significant problem. They had to lay down a number of baits to take care of the problem. We were able to take care of a problem that was a problem for residents on that block and take care of it without having to be asked in the first place.
Based on the success of this and other programs, Tom's team is now rolling out a network of sensors to capture more data. This network will track things like traffic accidents, air pollution, and overcrowding.
For me, living in Boston, the amount of time I spend in traffic is almost 2 hours per day. And so if we could free up that time, that would be huge savings, and multiply that by, you know, the several million people that spend a couple hours a day in traffic. So to me, that's the way you convince people, is show them how these new initiatives will impact their lives on a day-to-day basis to convince them to move in that direction.
Traffic is an issue in every city, but Sonu Kalra, portfolio manager at Fidelity Investments, sees opportunity in that traffic. This will result in great growth for connected cities.
I view smart cities as kind of the next phase of development. They'll have a transformative impact on how we live, how we work, how we play. It's also going to change how cities are developed. Whether it's 10 years from now or 20 years from now, we won't be talking about smart cities. We're going to expect every city to be smart. And there will be cities that we call dumb cities because they wouldn't have incorporated this technology.
And there will be a lot of technology to incorporate.
I view the technology industry in particular as a big beneficiary of this trend, since they provide some of the inner workings and the building blocks and enabling a lot of these devices, these sensors, semiconductor companies that make chips that go inside some of these sensors, software companies, all the data that's being collected that needs to be harnessed to make these cities smarter. The financial benefits that I see are multifold. To me, it's when I look at it from a system-wide basis, it's all the waste that takes place within the system, whether that's through congestion, that's through traffic, wasted real estate space, the amount of space in the city that's taken up by parking spots where a car, for the most part, just sits there for 8 hours a day, not being utilized. The biggest savings will just come from freeing up resources and improving the landscape and the urban development that will take place inside cities.
To better understand smart cities, Steve Liang took inspiration from his baby's nursery.
I have a small baby, 18 months old, and before he was born, actually I sensor up the nursery. So I have two sets of connected lights. I have a temperature sensor, I have a humidity sensor, I have a CO sensor, I have cameras and sound sensors, so I can monitor how often and how loud he cried.
Steve is a founder and CEO of SensorUp, and he sees a huge potential in the Internet of Things for cities.
For example, my recent favorite application for smart cities is garbage cans. So basically, is you know how full and how heavy are these garbage cans. You can really optimize your route to collect your garbage so you can keep your street clean.
His company has created a first responder initiative for the Department of Homeland Security, using sensors and data to improve response times and keep first responders safer. But back at home, he found a problem with all of the valuable info collected in his baby's room. The sensors were acting independently. There was no way to automatically combine the data. And he sees this same challenge in smart cities.
The real potential for the Internet of Things is you can really interconnect this sensing system. We are starting to make this data exchange standard for the sensing system so that we can really analyze the data, share the data, visualize the data, and find the insights.
It's a vision that Sonu shares of a greater, smarter future for connected cities.
When I think about an ideal connected city, my vision is no pollution, no traffic, lots of greenery. I think of cleanliness. I kind of think of a utopia is what I really think of when I think of a completely smart city. And, you know, it will obviously take a lot of time to get there, but we're headed in the right direction in terms of, you know, making our lives really simpler and more efficient so we can spend more time enjoying the things that we do on a daily basis.
By the year 2050, more than 60% of the world will live in cities. That's a huge impact on infrastructure, resources, pollution, and safety. In order to accommodate this growing population, many existing urban centers will need to upgrade and become more efficient. They will need to become smarter if they want to be smart cities. The Future According to Now is a podcast from Fidelity Investments and Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic. To learn more or to get in touch, visit us at theatlantic.com/fidelitypodcast. listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Thank you for listening. Promotional content produced by Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic for Fidelity Investments. Not FDIC insured. May lose value. No bank guarantee. Not NCUA or NCUSIF insured. May lose value. No credit union guarantee. Unless otherwise disclosed to you in providing this information, Fidelity is not undertaking to provide impartial investment advice, act as an impartial advisor, or to give advice in a fiduciary capacity. Fidelity and Atlantic Rethink, the branded content studio at The Atlantic, are independent entities. The views and opinions expressed by the speakers are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of Fidelity or its affiliates. Information presented is for information purposes only and is not investment advice or an offer of any particular security. This information must not be relied upon in making any investment decision. Fidelity cannot be held responsible for any type of loss incurred by applying any of the information presented. These views must not be relied upon as an indication of trading intent of any Fidelity fund or Fidelity advisor. Fidelity and the Fidelity Investments and Pyramid Design are logo registered service marks of FMR LLC, copyright 2016. All rights reserved. FIAM and affiliated Fidelity businesses may periodically post content on iTunes or similar podcast broadcasting platforms. Content from Fidelity Institutional Asset Management Registered, FIAM Registered, is provided by Fidelity Investments Institutional Services Company, Incorporated, 500 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917. Content from Fidelity Personal and Workplace Investing, PWI, or Fidelity Family Office Services, FFOS, is provided through Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.